Okay, here we go. Ready? Good? No?
Solid.
Okay. Oh, yes. Refuah Shalema. Everyone have in mind Refuah Shalema for a Zechus for Yaakov Moshe ben Michal Tova, who's undergoing surgery this morning. Rachel Deitch's great grandson. Yaakov Moshe ben Michal Tova, 4 years old. Everyone have in mind we should have a Refuah Shalema and a Hatzlacha with the surgery, and should all be good. Okay. So this is pretty much Erev Rosh Hashanah, sort of. Tavshanayin, but Rosh Hashanah of next year already. Amazing. Tavshanayin Aleph. So what we are going to do today is try to answer, like we do every year, but this every year we give a little bit of a different nuance to the answer. What is the avoda of Rosh Hashanah? In other words, what do you do? We know there's a mitzvah hayom, and don't get confused here because we've spoken about this in the past. The mitzvah of the day of Rosh Hashanah, as referred to in Parshas Emor, remember this? That Emor talks about the mitzvah hayom, like eating matzah, lulav, and esrog, and things like that. Whereas Parshas Pinchas always talks about the karbanas hayom, very good. In Emor, it calls the day zichron trua. So we think that must be referring to the mitzvah of shofar. But we have learned here that Chazal learned out the mitzvah of blowing shofar from its reference in Pinchas by the Karbanos when it's called Yom Teruah. That's the source for the mitzvah of blowing shofar. And we explained, it's not for today, maybe we'll talk about it next week when we go back into the Machzor, that shofar is like the Karbanos, shofar is a tefillah. It's a form of tefillah, and that's why you can blow shofar during Shmona Esrei. You don't eat matzah or take lulav and esrog in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Okay? So it's a tefillah. So therefore, what in Emor, which talks about the mitzvah sayom, what is the mitzvah sayom as referred to by the words zichron trua? So we learned that saying, malchius, shofros, and zichronos, that's the mitzvah of the day. Saying, talking about that Hashem is melech, that Hashem remembers everything, and that the shofar will bring us a zechus, right, through the shofar, which is not our subject today. But we know, okay, we have a mitzvah sayom, to call Hashem melech. All right, so we're standing in shul, we're being judged. What should we do? What can we do to help ourselves? What kavana should be in our head? So our kavana is to call Hashem melech. Now, today, we're going to flesh that out, okay? What's very strange is that the whole year, we say in Shmona Esrei, right? Baruch, we change the bracha. So the whole year we say, Hakel HaKadosh. And Rosh Hashanah we say, yeah, but what's greater, Kel or Melech? God or King? It sounds like it's a downgrade. Right? What happened there? To be Mamlech Hashem, call him Melech versus our normal awareness, which is Elohim. Right? So we have to talk about what Melech means. That's our basic purpose today. What do you do for yourself? How do you call Hashem Melech? What does that mean practically? Oh, I recognize Hashem as the King. What does that mean about me personally and my transformation? What's happening to me? What can I show Hashem, you know, that Hashem can see and say, oh, you deserve, you know, another year of life, physical, spiritual life, right? Okay. Now, in order to answer this question of what does it mean, tamlichuni aleichem, anoint me, call me melech, which is the mitzvah sayom, all right, we're going to ask a couple of additional questions, which once you hear them, you say, yeah, like I kind of knew that, but never articulated it, okay? First question is a little bit technical, all right, but we banter around some common ideas about Rosh Hashanah, about Briyas HaOlam, about the creation of man, and we never quite, or maybe some of you do, put it together and ask the simple questions about the discrepancies here. We know that the day is called Hayom Haras Olam. Today is the day of the Haras. What does Haras mean? Comes from the word Heirayon, pregnancy. Okay, so one second. So what is Rosh Hashanah? A pregnancy is not a birth. A pregnancy is the preparatory phase. It's not when it comes into existence. It's before it comes into existence. So, what does that mean? On Rosh Hashanah, we say, did the world get was the world like in a gestational stage on Rosh Hashanah? No, the world was started in Chaf Hei Elul, right? So, Rosh Hashanah, it was completed. It really was the birth of the world. So, how does that work? So, we say no. What happens is man was created on Rosh Hashanah. So, since man brought the world to its tachlis, so it's the creation of man is like the birth of the world. But wait, then we still call the day is the gestation of the world. Is it the birth of the world, the beginning of man, or is it still in a gestational phase? Now, add to this the basic machlokas in the Gemara. Right? The question is, when was the world created? We know there are two opinions, right? One opinion, it was created in Tishrei, and one opinion, it is created in Nisan. Rabbi Yeshua says the world was created in Nisan, and there's another opinion that says the world is created in Tishrei. So, Tosfos says the following in the Shema Rabbeinu Tam. And this is a famous idea, again, but we have to work through it. Because there's a complicated, a lot of conversations. What happened on Rosh Hashanah, right? Where, what stage are we at? So Rabbeinu Tam says, B'tishrei, in Tishrei, Allah b'machshava. It was a machshava to create the world. That sounds like Hayom Haras Olam. Today is the day the world was conceived and began to be formed, but it's not the birth. That makes sense. Rabbeinu Tam says that the Tishrei, Allah b'machshava, and then in Nisan it was created nivra b'poel. It was actually created. Okay, so we have solved one little technical issue, but we didn't solve the real question. We say if we say hayom haras olam, today is the conception and the gestation of the world, the preparatory phase. Okay, that goes to the Rabbeinu Tam. Then Tishrei it was in machshava, and then later it was created. But what about the fact that we say Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah and brought the world into existence? So it was the birth of the world on Rosh Hashanah. What about that? That's question number one. What do we do with that? Question number two, just on this question, really. When was Rosh Hashanah then? When was man created? On the sixth day. Okay, on Friday, the sixth day. So is the beginning of the sixth day when man was not created Rosh Hashanah? When it was just animals? No. So it's the last how many hours of the sixth day when man was created that becomes Rosh Hashanah, right? And then you say to yourself, wait a second, that isn't that odd that the birds and the fish get their own day, okay? And animals are not so different from birds and fish. And animals get their own day. And man doesn't get his own day? Isn't it a little odd that man doesn't get his own day? He's created after everything on the sixth day. And then when is Rosh Hashanah exactly? The end of the sixth day? Or is it Shabbos? So even look in the Chumash, okay? Look at the wording in the way the sixth day is described. It's very odd, okay? Torah's trying to tell us something here. Tell us something very fundamental, all right? The wording is this, for the sixth day. Turn to page 8. No, actually page 6 in these the stone editions, right? V'yomer Elokim. No, I'm sorry. Here. Okay, V'yomer Elokim, Pasuk 24. Okay? This is the sixth day. V'yomer Elokim totze ha'aretz nefesh chaya lemina behema v'remes v'chayus eretz lemina v'yikein. Hashem said, let the earth bring forth living creatures, etc., etc., and so it was. Vayas Elokim es chayas ha'aretz lemina. Hashem made all the creatures of the beasts and of the land, right? And all the behemoths, according to their species, and everything that crawled, every creeping thing, according to its species. Vayar Elokim ki tov. That phrase is always found at the end of the work of the day. Right, it's always found at the, and generally found at the end of the work of the day. It sounds like the work of the day is over, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden, like an addendum, what's this? But Yomer Lakim, you know what? Another thought. Nasa Adam Betzalmenu. Let's make man. And it does sound like a thought. It almost sounds like a thought. Hayom Haras Olam. It sounds like it's a thought. Let's let's do this, right? And you have that nun, which is that we, well, that's the big question, which we're going to answer again. And Rashi says the malachim, but we're going to take it a little bit of a different derech, okay? And that's what is it? This sounds like there was a conception in thought, b'machshava, which is what it seems to be. So what is Rosh? Then brings us to our question. So what is Rosh Hashanah? The birthday of the creation of man at the end of the sixth day. Why is it recorded in this way? Why does the Torah tell us that real that man is lumped together with the animals on the sixth day, but the sixth day's work was done, and then man like kind of found himself being brought into existence, right? And so what is that? Why is the Torah writing it like that? Okay, that's the second question. And thirdly, the Rashi here, which we must understand, at the end of the creation of man, in the beginning of Perek Beis, it says Vayechulu Hashemayim V'Haaretz. Everything was done, and he finished his work on the seventh day. These are all very important and in depth, very deep ideas, obviously. But look at the end. Vayevarach Elokim Es Yom Hashvi'i V'Kadesh Oso. He blessed it and sanctified it. Kivo shavas mikol malachto, because on that day he rested, whatever, right, from all his malacha, asher bara Elokim, that God had created, la asos, very difficult terminology here, la asos is future, to do, right, the rest of the pasuk is past. Right, so Rashi says, what does that mean, asher bara Elokim, that God had created? You could end the pasuk there. God blessed the day, sanctified it, because on that day he rested from all his work. Asher bara Elokim, that he did. Done. Stop. What is la asos? Look what Rashi says, and Rashi doesn't give it away, because we're working with the secrets here. This is more than drush. This is getting into the ramazim, and this the deeper levels here of understanding. And he says, Rashi says the following, hamalacha, the work, shahaisa ru'uya lasos b'Shabbos, that really was ra'oi, was appropriate to be done on Shabbos, kafal, he kind of doubled it up, va'asa b'shishi, and he did it on Friday. What is Rashi talking about? What's the malacha that he should have done on Shabbos that he did on Friday? That's our question. Creating man. Now, you see how the Torah is writing? It's written that it really wasn't to be on. It wasn't supposed to be for the sixth day. The sixth day was for the animals. Then on Shabbos, Hashem was supposed to create man, but Hashem preempted that and said, "You know what? Nasa Adam," and He created it on the sixth day. Now I'm going to introduce you to someone new. We have worked with some of his ideas before, but not that often. Rav Shlomo Fisher, alive and well in Eretz Yisrael, huge, huge in Machshava. Okay, the sefer is called Beis Yishai. Huge in Machshava. He gives his white beard, Haredi, black, but he gives shiur in the Hezder Yeshivas. You can go online, you can see him. Also, he gives shiur in the whole spectrum. He's well known across the spectrum. And with the, not just among the Haredi world. He is big, huge, and also in Psak Halacha, huge. Okay? Of Shlomo Fisher. Anyway, these ideas that you're going to hear today are fleshed out by him. So basically what he says is, and I'm going to use three words, but then we're going to explain each word very, very carefully. In English, let's say what's happening here is man is born, so to speak, or created premature. Okay? When we say, and I don't mean it literally, man was born full grown. Well, let's talk about what that means. Man was meant to be created on Shabbos. However, man was created prematurely on Friday. Okay. That's why we say Hayom Haras Olam. Today is the gestation of the world, the creation of man. What we're saying is Friday, what becomes Rosh Hashanah, okay, is when man shouldn't have been born. Man was still not ready. He was still in, being completed. Okay? That's what we're saying. Rashi says there was malacha that should have been for Shabbos and he did it earlier. That's kriya bria of man. What does that all mean? Obviously Hashem knows what he's doing, but why does the Torah report the creation of man to us like this, that really he's roi for Shabbos, but he found himself already in existence, created before Shabbos? And therefore, he was not ready. He was still herayon, like in the pregnant stage. He wasn't ready to be born. And there he was, born. Right? And that's what we're commemorating. Okay. And that's why man does deserve his own day. His own day is Shabbos, but for some reason, he was brought into existence prematurely. That's how the Torah explains it. And we will get to the nun in Nase. Okay, let us make man. So, when we talk about that man is born prematurely, okay, this is going to bring us back to ideas we worked with. Remember Menachem Krakowski and the three components of man's psyche? This is like the underpinnings of that. This is where that comes from, really. And the fact is that who is man? What do you call an Adam, right? So there are two phases to the Bria of man. There is the actual phase where man physically is created. That's called Bikoach, physically with force, with Hashem's force. And that happens clearly in Tishrei. It's actually created with the creation of man. He's brought into existence. Ready or not, he exists. Friday in Gan Eden, okay? Before Shabbos. He exists. But there's a later stage of creation or of birth, which is called bipoel, in potential. And that comes into existence later. And for Klal Yisrael, it's represented by Yetzias Mitzrayim. What that means is that man exists before they truly exist completely. The Adam, the ultimate person, is the person that is Tzelem Elohim. Man can exist before becoming Tzelem Elohim. Man can exist b'koach, physically, before they can identifiably be Tzelem Elohim, which would be man's existence on Shabbos. Shabbos means man's creation, man's link to Shabbos, right? Shabbos would be man existing in a state like Perek Aleph describes. Tzelem Elohim, a miniature god. No prohibitions. Remember Perek Aleph? No limitations and no prohibitions. They're allowed to eat from everything. Remember, Mikol Eitzagan Ochel Tochel. We talked about this, right? Sounds familiar? You can eat from everything. Why? Because Eitzadas on Shabbos is never a problem. Because Shabbos means, Perek Aleph, going back, Perek Aleph means an ideal state of man where their chachma, their das, is pure. Which means, like Moshe on Har Sinai, that everything they see with re'eh, like it says later in Devarim, re'eh, see correctly, what man sees, man's perspective, is pure and true and trustworthy because it's Hashem's perspective. There's no separation. They see things the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees them. It's called aspaklaria, me'ira. The light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally integrated. It's like the Shekhinah pervades their thinking, their existence. It comes from outside. It comes from inside. It is who they are. It's how they react. That's Moshe's karne, or rays of light. That's Tzelem Elohim. It comes through the intellect. And then the body is no issue, and subjectivity is no issue, because your subjective opinion is correct and emes. So the Eitz Hadas of Tov V'Ra, which is subjectivity, is trustworthy. It's not a problem. So your subjectivity is the same as Hashem's opinion. So you can eat from the tzedas, and there's no prohibitions, and you're like a little god, and your reduha v'kivshua dominate the world, and you're perfect, tov ma'od. And this, that is, as we said, ish and isha, zachar and nekeva are one. That's the code words, right? Zachar being what you know from the outside, your chachma, and nekeva being your gut, your instinct, your desire. It's all the same thing, no disconnect. That's perek aleph. That's called Shabbos. That's man existing in the Madrega of Shabbos. That's when man was supposed to be created. That's real man's objective. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings man into existence before Shabbos. The Torah is just telling us, helping us understand ourselves. This is just for self-awareness. It's describing the Bria clearly in a way that man is premature. It's telling you that. Rashi's telling you that. So what the Torah is telling you that is Hashem did something else. Hashem did not bring us into existence on Shabbos. That was not the plan. Hashem brought us into existence, Perek Beis, on Friday. Friday is the day we share with the animals. It's too early. What does that mean, it's too early? Our das is not developed. Our chokhmah is not developed. He brought us into existence in a way where our emotions are developed, but not our chokhmah. And he said, because that's your reality, don't eat from the Eitz HaDas, which means, as we know, don't increase your subjectivity, because you'll be lost. If you become subjective and want to listen to your own, what you think is right and what you want and your desires and what you will make you feel good emotionally, psychologically, and you're in the grip of the I, the little ani, the chokhmah will become you know, lost and silenced and will not exert any control over you. Don't eat from the Eitz HaDas, right? Don't become too subjective. That's called eating from the Eitz HaDas. Now what happens? The nachash, that's the body, this is telling you what will happen to every person. Remember, everything that takes place in Gan Eden is not part of the real world. It's part of the pre-existence of the world, and it's describing what the reality is once existence starts. This whole sin took place in Gan Eden before time, okay, before real history begins. So what's this? It's telling you that before you even start your journey in life, this is what you should know. The nachash has already seduced the woman, which means, as we said, your nachash is your body. Remember the reptilian brain, your desires for survival, for honor, for status, for power, all the things, kinna, taiva, kavod, all those things, jealousy, lust, and what we call the etzara. That's your body's drives. It's already made an attempt at the isha, your passions, your emotions, your excitement, your enthusiasm, what feels good, right? And it's already done its work, okay? That's what happened. The nachash did its work. Now, what did the nachash say to the isha, so to speak? What do you hear compelling you inside your head, talking to your emotions, talking to your subjective self, the I? You hear say, v'hayisa kelokim, you're going to be like Elokim. And is that a lie or is that true? It's totally true. But you are it now. You will be like Shabbos. But it's not now. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to get to Shabbos through a journey, through a process of allowing their what they know to be true and what they desire to become one. That's the Isha and Isha being separated, that's the job. They're not one now. That's how it's going to be. Now, what's your role? What's your first mitzvah? Put the zachor and the kevah, the isha and isha together. So we come into this world knowing that our job is to harmonize what we desire from the inside, our gut interests, and what we know to be true. And if we do that, then we're one. That's Perek Aleph. In Perek Aleph, they were one. Then that's Selam Elokim. Then that's called Shabbos. And Friday means that you have to go through the process of getting to Shabbos on your own. Really, you're born for Shabbos. But I'm going to make you born, so to speak, premature. And then you're going to have to find your way to Shabbos. Now, the way he says it is this. These are his words. The avoda of man, being that he's born before Shabbos, the avoda of man is the following, he says, Laholid be'atzmo et atzmo, to give birth by himself to himself. We have to give birth to ourselves for Shabbos. So he brings down that there are three partners in the bria of a person, but not the father, mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings it down differently. There's the yolid, the newborn, the yoled, the mother who's giving birth, and the mialedet, the helper, the midwife. He says, when a person gives birth to themselves, they are all three. Me, myself, and I have to give birth to myself. The mialedet, he brings down the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the mialedet is chachma. Your chachma has to help you go through the birth pains of giving birth to the little newborn. That's the Tzelem Elokim person. That's your true self. The mialedet, the midwife, again, is chachma. It's what you know. It's what you learn. It's how you stick to what you learn. That helps you get through the birth pangs, the trials and tribulations and the ups and downs. What we talked about last week, David HaMelech, all right, the failures and successes, helps the person go through those birth pangs and finally give birth to the newborn, which is the true person, the Tzelem Elokim. But we have to give birth to that Tzelem Elokim ourselves. And that's why we come into Shabbos, that's we created ourselves for Shabbos. So what we're saying here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, what the Torah is trying to teach us by writing it this way, is really your ra'oi for Shabbos, to be born on Shabbos. Na'ase Adam, we are going to make man, that means with us. We are partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us together make man. You will have to give yourself the ability to be reborn as a Shabbos, a Tzelem Elokim, on a Shabbos, so to speak. I will bring you in prematurely and you will have to do the work. The Nachash says, V'hayisak Elokim, that's true. But he wanted to convince them that they can have that goal without going through the process, without going through the journey, just automatically be Elohim. Now, by the way, how many of the greatest, most evil people on earth have fallen prey to this temptation? This thing, Vayisak Elohim, is not what describes the sin of average people who want another cheeseburger and another beautiful lady and a little more money. Those are certain taiva sins, okay? Those are mundane sins. Bad, but mundane, in a way. Everybody, you know. Then there's a whole nother level. The other level is, I want to exist where my subjective opinion is truth. I can play God. I can set up this world the way I want to, and I don't want to go through the process of purifying my subjective opinion and then, therefore, trusting it. I want to allow my subjectivity to dominate now, period, end of story, no matter who's destroyed in the process. That's the big megalomaniacs. Those are the Hitlers and the Osama bin Ladens and all of those. That's who that is. My world, my way. What? Who? Oh. My world, my way. Okay? That's the real dangerous sin. That's the real dangerous sin. Okay? My world, my way, without any purification of the way I see things. Now, we go here, and we take this further. In Kabbalah, by the way, he brings down that by the Mekubalim, they speak about the concept of the birth of the brains. It's called Leidas HaMochin, the birth of the brains, when the Moach starts to kick in. By the way, this always reminds me of a story of my, this is just a tangent, a little nothing, yes, a tangent here. When my kids were, like, I had one was about 4 and one was about 2, I guess, or maybe 5 and 2. They were 3 years apart. And the 2-year-old is sitting on the ground, and remember those big, like, disgusting cicadas, whatever? Yeah, yeah. And you know how they, like, basically leave their whole skin behind? So he was sitting on the ground, and he picks up this, like, shell of this bug, and he's like... So my other son is looking at him in total, like, bewilderment. He goes, Mommy... Did his brains grow in yet? And the answer is N-O. No, but this is what he's saying. Kabbalah speaks about the birth of the Moach. Okay, now, this idea, okay, Lahotzi mehakoach el hapoel, to take from potential to real existence, is what we call to give birth to yourself. Laholid biatzmo et atzmo. Right? To give birth to yourself. So that is working through the premature stage to a real place of being Adam. Now, in Hosea speaks about the possibility of missing this stage, of not being able to do that. And Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Chevle Yoleda Yavo'u. The birth pangs are going to come. What are these birth pangs? The time where people, the nation, individuals must finally lift themselves up and begin to control and direct their passions and their subjective desires and their interests and be governed by their chachma to give birth to a righteous and just and wise people. and or self. The birth pangs are coming. We all will get the birth pangs. There will be all kinds of challenges in life as we mature that force us to either impose our chachma on ourselves, on our gut original, you know, undeveloped self, or not. And if we don't go through those birth pangs and start doing that hard work, we don't give birth to anything. There's nothing after us. We have no offspring. Offspring is us, the Tzelem Elokim, that we give birth to ourselves. Okay? So he says, Chevle Yoleda Yavo, the birth pangs are going to come. Right? They're going through. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into everyone's life all kinds of difficulties and situations and conflicts and challenges that demand that a person begin to give birth to the real self. Then it says, so Yechevle Yoleda Yavolo, the birth pangs will come to him. Who ben lo chacham? But he's not a chacham. He's not using his chachma. He's not going to. There's no mialeda, so to speak. There's no one to help him. Ki eis lo yamod b'mishbar banim, and therefore he shall not stand or be able to endure the giving birth of banim on the mishbar, on the birth stool. He will not be able to endure to be able to really get the children out, so to speak, because there's nobody, he doesn't have the strength. He himself doesn't have the strength to get the children out, to produce those children. So the birth pangs will come, but he's not a ben chacham. Chachma is the meyaled, is the nursemaid. So he won't be able to endure or to succeed in producing boy children. Bonim. So this is, he brings down this pasuk in Hosea. So what happens, if you think about history and you think about man, to a person who exists like the animals on the sixth day, physically created, full of passions, full of desires, full of instinctual gut reactions, full of strength, but without the chachma developed, which is for sure our situation, because we know that the Eitz Hadas brings down from the Gur Aryeh, which is the Maral on Chumash, that there's a famous idea that the Isser to eat from the Eitz Hadas was only temporary until Shabbos. Right? That's what you say. Yeah, you say if Adam would have kept one Shabbos and the world would have been perfect, that's what this is talking about. He would have just managed to get to Shabbos without eating with the Eitz Hadas. We know that not eating from the Eitz Hadas was temporary. What does that mean? That man was meant to be created in this premature state, full of, right, the as we said, the inside, the instincts and the desires, not yet with the chachma of Shabbos, the Das, prevailing. Just stay in line. Don't go wild, right? Shut out the Das that's there. And if he could have maintained this, he would have come to Shabbos, so to speak, and that would have been the perfection of man. So it was temporary. It was a process. It was a process. This is everybody's process. This is how Hashem created us. He created us early, created us before we're ready, so to speak, before the Chachma kicks in. So the process is just hold out, grab hold of the Chachma, like Hashem said after the Eitz Hadas, right? He said, El Ishech Teshukasech, right? This is all before we start living. To your man, the Chachma, right, is your desire, v'hu yimshol bach, and he should dominate you. If you can hold on to that, you'll be okay. But that they failed there. So he says, every person, it's not they failed, every person finds that that's incredibly, exceedingly difficult. That's exceedingly difficult. Just to let Chachma dominate until we get to a point where we are Chachma. To superimpose Chachma on our passions until we get to a state where we are Chachma. And the passions fall in line, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like great tzaddikim, not just Moshe. There are many people, and maybe in some areas in life we are also like this, that at a certain stage, through tremendous training and consistency and a lifestyle, you get to a point where the Chachma that you live by becomes who you are, right? So that's all it was. It was a process, a temporary journey to impose, to live by chachma, to live by truth, to live by emes, until we become chachma and we become emes. That's Shabbos, right? You hear this makes sense? Mm-hmm. So so that's the problem. It was temporary. So then it's described that Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas before it was ripe. You understand what they're saying now? You could eat from the Eitz Hadas on Shabbos, because if you're purified, if your chachma is in charge and your insides, your instincts and your desires, your lave, your heart is pure, then on, that's called Shabbos, that's Tzelem Elokim. Then the Eitz Hadas, you could be subjective. You can have as much subjectivity as you want because your subjectivity is objectivity, it's truth. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's truth. You're one. But eating the Eitz Hadas on Friday is called eating it when it's not ripe. Increasing the subjectivity and the desire and the ani before the chachma kicks in. So it was supposed to be a journey, and it was supposed to be a process. What happened because they ate the Eitz Hadas? So what happened is they never had Shabbos in Gan Eden. What that means is when they were kicked out, it was Friday. That really, so poetically speaking, we were destined to exist continuously in Friday. In other words, every human being now is existing in this state. Shabbos is now reserved la'asid level. V'yom shekula Shabbos. That's the future. And that's why Adam HaRishon sings Mizmor Shir L'yom HaShabbos. Okay? When Adam is kicked out, or when Ish and Isha, or people, humanity, are so-called kicked out of Gan Eden, what that means is when real history starts, we're starting in stuck in Friday. Stuck in that we're like the animals. We haven't given birth to ourselves as Tzelem Elokim, that our chachma is not dominant over our lave, our hearts. That's called Friday, and Shabbos is for the future. Now, what happens to a person that is existing in full force on Friday without having given birth to themselves in chachma? So, remember this? That's where we got all the ideas about the Ish, Isha, and right? But there's another article on Chakira that is by a different author. It's about divine providence. And it's a long and interesting article. And it's written by David Gutman. And he's a businessman who lives in Flatbush. And he brings down, among a million things, the Rambam. And this is how he describes what we're talking about today. He says, first of all, you know, remember we introduced the ideas of Chomer and Tzura? Chomer is premature man, all Chomer. The real person's existence. Tzura is form. It's Shabbos. It's Tzelem Elokim. It's what man can become if they impose the Chachma and then give birth to themselves as Tzura, as a real form. So in this distinction of Chomer and Tzura, he brings the Mor Nevuchim. Says, thus, the knowledge of God, the formation of ideas, the mastery of desire and passion, the distinction between that which should be chosen and that which should be rejected, all these man owes to his form, to Shabbos, to Tzelem Elokim, to Chachma, to Das, okay, to Seichel. That all is what brings the person from an animal 6 day into Shabbos. The ability does not come to man at the moment of his coming into existence. It is an acquired quality that he develops as he grows. The ability to observe himself from the outside, not to be subjective. To judge right from wrong, self-control beyond his physical needs, and thinking conceptually all pertain to man's form, tzura. It is what differentiates him from the animal kingdom. We can summarize by saying that all thought related to promoting his physical existence alone, the 6 day, the animal part of man, that pertains to matter, to his chomer. It is part and parcel of man's physical survival mechanism. The ability to observe his own existence and draw conclusions from this observation is man's essence. Both thought processes are the product of the same ability to think, and the questions raised about our existence are intertwined with ones about our survival. And he goes on to explain this further. He says, he talks about being an Adam, which means really existence. Okay, really, what do we mean when we define the word Adam? Okay, it is only as he develops his unique form, gives birth to himself, is what we're saying. uses his self-awareness and reflection to seek out meaning of his existence and acquires knowledge of God and his own standing in that perspective that he becomes Adam, becomes human. If man, that brings more Nevuchim again. If man possessed wisdom, which stands in the same relation to the form of man, to the Torah, as the sight of the eye, they would not cause any injury to themselves or to others, for the knowledge of truth removes hatreds and quarrels and prevents mutual injuries. He's saying if a person developed their chachma, there would not be any more the competition, the war, the hatred, the jealousy, the all of what goes on. In other words, you would conquer your passions, yourself. He says, man in his natural undeveloped state, the sixth day, the premature state, is therefore a non-being. There's no Adam, there's no Tzelem Elokim. Just like darkness is a non-being without light, and evil is the absence of good. Ignorant and thus selfish man is the source of evil and destruction, while self-reflective man is good and promotes existence. Now he brings this more Nevuchim. This is what I'm getting up to. It is acknowledged that a man who does not possess this form, this tzura, this Tzelem Elokim, is not human, but a mere animal in human shape and form. Yet such a creature, because of the ability to think, but not to impose truth on them, but just to use their abstract thinking, is such a creature has a faculty to cause harm and injury, a faculty that is not possessed by other animals. For those gifts of intelligence and judgment with which he has been endowed for the purpose of achieving perfection that he has not achieved, that's Hosea, that he doesn't give birth to himself, are used by him for wicked and mischievous ends. He begets all evil things as though he merely resembles man or simulates his outward appearance. That's the Rambam. Rambam is telling us that man created on the sixth day, who does not give birth to himself, impose chachma, is not man, is not Tzelem Elokim, is an animal simulating a human appearance. So if you want to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store, what our journey is, we always talk about the chibur. Yes, it's all of the same thing. How do you create a chibur? It comes from becoming an Adam. It comes from becoming an Adam. So if you want to know how hard that is, it's incredibly hard. It's exceedingly hard because naturally we're on the sixth day. We're premature. We have to give birth to ourselves. How could you be the woman giving birth, the baby, and the house and the midwife? You have to go through the pain, strengthen yourself, as David HaMelech says, Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak V'Amitz Libecha V'Kaveh El Hashem, and keep going. All right, so you have to bear the pain of all the situations that come your way that propel you to give birth to a Tzelem Elokim, which is yourself. And then you have to be the nursemaid, as we said, the midwife. And you have to be the newborn. Then when you give birth to yourself, when a person finds that there are aspects of them which are beginning to resemble Tzelem Elokim, they have to not backtrack, not lose it. Interestingly enough, all of the ideas that we've been speaking about in the last few weeks, many of the ideas about the attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and restlessness and rootlessness and all of that, and now what this idea also about the development of the brain and how we think were discussed in an excellent article this past Sunday. Did you guys see it? What is it about the 20-somethings? Very illuminating article, and a lot of what we talked about here. Lots of stuff is being observed as existing. So this is what they say. They say this. Listen to this. National Institute of Mental Health scientists also found a time lag between the growth of the limbic system, where emotions originate, and the prefrontal cortex, which manages these emotions. The limbic system explodes during puberty, but the prefrontal cortex keeps maturing for another 10 years. So it is logical to suppose that when the limbic system is fully active, but the cortex is still being built, okay, emotions might outweigh rationality. You understand what's going on?
Teenagers.
Exactly. But not just teenagers. Not just teenagers, because... Not just teenagers, but this is a common, this is life. This is what the Torah is telling us. This is exactly how it works. This is the Bria. This is what the Torah is telling you. Shabbos, the Tzelem Elokim, is the ability to make the right choices, to know truth. In that chachma is you could build an atom bomb, you could create the internet, you can conceive of how to destroy the Jewish people in a gazillion different ways. You can use your intellect for evil purposes, as Rambam says. There's a powerful intellect. But if it's not linked, it's not married to truth, to emes, to Hashem's morals and ethics, then what is created is a human with incredible abilities of destruction and evil. But that's not a human being. That, Rambam says, is an animal. So it's not just in every person we go through a phase where we experience that we're premature for our seichel, you know? We say it's a shame that youth is wasted on the youth. I mean, this is what it's true. We don't have the seichel. That's what it is. It's not like that in every, it's not just like that in every single person. It's like that also in the history of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is explaining that to us through the way the Bria is described. Right? And how Rashi's telling us it was Ra'oi for Shabbos, but is created early. And then we give birth to ourselves. So what's the avoda of Rosh Hashanah? You're standing in shul. We say we have to be melech. Now we ask the question. You go from HaKel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh. That's like a downgrade. Kel is a god. And it's just like this. A Kel, a god, could be a god over animals. But there's no melech over animals. In order to be somebody to be called a melech, he has to have an am. And an am is made up of people, Adam. When you say HaMelech HaKadosh, you are Melech, and we stand on Rosh Hashanah, we have to say Malchus and call Hashem Melech. You know what that means? We have to be the Am. We have to be an Adam. We have to know on Rosh Hashanah that this is the day that man was created in order to give birth to themselves in a higher level. And what a person does on Rosh Hashanah is say, Hayom Haras Olam, today is the day that man is in preparation. Do I want to give birth to a Tzelem Elokim? Is that my basic goal? Or have I lost sight of that goal completely? Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva, he brings down, that a person does not, you don't do vidui on Rosh Hashanah, right? But what happens on Rosh Hashanah, your person is judged. How is a person judged? You know this, we've talked about this every year. There's zechuyosar weighed against their avonos. And then kol shezechuyosav, merubin al avonosav, whoever zechuyosar more, and it's not quantity, it's quality, nikra tzadik v'nechtam l'chayim. So we said, Rambam says, basically, so if you have one more, quality-wise, one more mitzvah than Avera, what are you? A tzaddik. What that means is, what's happening on Rosh Hashanah, it's not that you didn't do Averas and not that you don't have to do tshuva, that comes, that's for sure, that comes the Seres Yimei Tshuva. What's happening on Rosh Hashanah is, what are you more? What are you creating? What are you giving birth to? Nothing or something? So if a person lives without giving birth to themselves on a higher madriga, then they have no toldos, there's no offspring. Then they lived and they died. And this has nothing to do with physical offspring. Every human being gives birth. And maybe some people don't just give birth to themselves. Now we understand why Rebbeim and things, they give birth to their Talmidim. They're considered as if they gave birth because they help bring that person to their own ability to give birth to themselves at Tzelem Elokim. They're the Mialedes, the midwife, right? So they're called Banim in a way. They're, right? Talmidim are Banim. So the Avod on Rosh Hashanah is, when you stand in Shul and you call Hashem Melech, that means, if I call Hashem Melech, I must be an Adam. Hashem is not a Melech over animals. Like Rambam says, that look like human beings. There's no such thing as being a Melech over the, you know, remember Yertle the turtle? Right? It's Dr. Seuss, I'm the king. He stood really high and he said, I'm the king of the sun and everything I could see, I'm the king of. But, right, but there's no, unless a person is an Adam, there's no Melech. So the highest achievement is calling Hashem Melech, which means we know who we are. Now these ideas, hold on to them because we will develop them next week in Mitzrayim. We talk about the shofar. Okay, so bring your machzorim next week and have a wonderful Shabbos.
I finally understand the Rambam.
Oh, wait, stop. I want to do a halacha every day. Now, we said that chachma, the quick halacha, chachma is the nurse, the midwife, right? A little chachma. Although women do not have an obligation to learn Torah, we've talked about this for Torah's sake, they do have the obligation to know all the laws that apply to them, which means they have to learn. Therefore, they should recite Berachas HaTorah. Just list is important. One must recite Birchas Torah before learning Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara. Many poskim also include that Medrash, Kabbalah, Dikduk, Musar, and Tehillim. Yes. If a father is teaching Aleph-Bays to his child, Berachos HaTorah should be recited beforehand. One may answer Kedusha before reciting Berachos HaTorah. And I just want to tell you something. When one is thinking in Torah and no words actually leave your mouth, okay, most poskim say you do not have to first recite Berachos HaTorah, but some say yes. If you want to tell someone something, or you ask a shayla, but if something's permitted, if you just say yes or no, you don't have to, but if you explain the reason of the psak, you have to recite Berachos HaTorah. If one did not recite Berachos HaTorah, he may tell his friend not to discuss Torah with him. One may look at the words in a sefer without verbalizing any words. If one verbalizes his words when reading, he must say Berachos HaTorah. Hold it. Although you do not have to require Berachos HaTorah when thinking Torah, if one hears words of Torah from a friend or a shir, but not when listening to recorded divrei Torah, you don't necessarily have to. You have to make Berachos HaTorah before coming to this class.
You know, when the Ramban says that we had to go down to Mitzrayim because Abraham did not stand the Ra'ah, he ran down to Mitzrayim. So this is very well with what you just said. Abraham, because he wasn't willing to go through these birth pains, and we had to go then and suffer in Mitzrayim before we could be reborn in this son as a nation.
You know? Many hold that Ramban is a miscall,
right.
But according to those,
no matter what his punishment was, if you say it's because
Abraham did. It is that case. It has a tendency. Okay, that's the problem.
But well, then whatever. Then we had to go through more.
That's right. That's the whole thing. That's right.
The time. I thought it was from you. Maybe it was from somebody else. That when Tanya said to Hashem, how can I stay in this world? Everybody's going to attack me. So Hashem said, I'm going to give you an answer. What was that over? Shabbos. Shabbos will protect you. That's how you will be able to live. So if that can be other than that, that's when other knows it is more true. I think you said that. Maybe 2 years ago.